Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Praise the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. Yes, you're once again in tune to Are You a Liability or Are You an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Oh, yes, tonight is an exciting night for me. I'm so excited to announce that Deacon Marvin Cox and I will be doing a tag team message on tonight. We will be sharing this worldwide platform together on tonight, delivering God's word. So please get your Bibles and your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox, my brother in Christ, and myself as we deliver God's word together on tonight. We always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all the listeners, if you will please pray with me, because we do serve an awesome God who can not only hear, but he can answer and hear all of our prayers at the same time. What a mighty, awesome God we serve. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We love you. We thank you for loving us first and in spite of ourselves. We thank you that you have allowed us to wake up and see this a brand new day. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have your angels encamped all around us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives and resides in each believer in Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, asking that you would forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace. We come now in the name of Jesus, asking Heavenly Father that you would move by your Spirit, that you would continue to touch, heal, and deliver and strengthen those that are sick in their minds, spirits, and bodies all over the land, because we do know that you are still working miracles, signs, and wonders even on tonight. And, oh God, in the name of Jesus, we pray that should there be any listener on tonight that's still scripturally blind, it is our hope and our desire and prayer that something will be said through your word on tonight that will touch their hearts and prick their hearts in their minds to the point that they will be able to open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ on tonight. And they will ask Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins and transgressions, and they will also ask Jesus Christ to save them in the name of Jesus. And once they're saved, they will all come to know their God's purpose in the earth, and that God will be glorified through them. Heavenly Father, we continue to lift up our president and world leaders everywhere, Heavenly Father, that are not saved. It's our prayer and hope and desire that you would send your word and your word even their way, to the point that they would even be able to hear your word and then receive your word. And Heavenly Father, they would open their own mouths and confess their sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them as well. And then once they're saved, they would truly know their God purpose, and they would know how to love and treat each other with compassion, all your people with love and compassion around the world, that you would be glorified through them. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. We continue to lift up our governor, Governor Whitmer, her and her family. Their lives were threatened by hate groups. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, for divine protection over our governor and her family, and that the perpetrators have been caught. And we pray that justice prevail in this case, in the name of Jesus, that she would be able to continue to give you glory, honor, and praise. We love you, Heavenly Father. We now ask that you will move by your spirit. Help us to decrease on tonight, my brother in Christ, Deacon Marvin Cox, and I, as we do a tag team message on tonight. Help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us, and that we will be on one accord through your word, and that your word will go forth with power on tonight, and that you will be glorified is our prayer. In Jesus' name, continue to bless each believer and every listener that faithfully tunes into this worldwide ministry and platform. Continue to grant them the desires of their hearts is our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All the people of God that are touching and agreeing with this prayer said, amen. Well, tonight, again, I'm so excited to announce that Deacon Marvin Cox and I will be doing a tag team message on tonight. And I am going to wait just a moment before I bring him on, before I now announce the title of our message for tonight, because he's going to share with us another inspirational poem first, and then we're going to go into tonight's message, he and I together, on this worldwide ministry and platform. But we get ready to go to our music break right now, and I pray that something will be said through this song, that you'll be uplifted, because we know without a shadow of a doubt that we deserve to give, and we owe God our total praise because of who he is. And we know that he is God. He is in total control, and we know that all power in heaven and earth is still in his hands. So we're going to play total praise on tonight because God deserves our total praise. Enjoy. That's a different version. I'm going to give you the other one because that's the same song, but it's a different pace. So I'm going to switch it over to this one. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I love that song, Total Praise. Our Heavenly Father deserves our total praise. Well, on tonight, as I said earlier, I have Deacon Marvin Cox standing by on the line tonight. He and I are going to share and do a tag team message on tonight. So before we go into that, before we even give the title of the message on tonight in the main scripture, I would like for Deacon Marvin Cox to come forth now, and if you would go ahead and share with us your poem, Deacon Marvin Cox, and we will move forward following your poem.
Amen. This is a dedication to all of those that have struggled in their life, all of those who it seems like there's no light, it seems like there's no way out. This is for all of those who are really searching and trying to find their way. The name of this is Living in a Dark World. Living in a dark world, unable to see the light, doing sinful things, roaming the streets at night. A victim of society, best friends will toil and strive, trying to get this monkey off of my back, searching for a better life. When a taskmaster calls, it's best that you obey. You don't want to live this like this. There must be another way. To meet this awesome need, you'll sacrifice your precious treasure for just a few minutes of fleshly pleasure. It wasn't supposed to be like this. I was once a favorite child. There are some things out there that can drive anybody wild. Living in a dark world, someone stopped me on the street one day. They said, I know about your situation. Do you mind if we pray? At first I started to reject it. Then I said, I might as well. The prayer warrior said to me, you have a story to tell. The first thing that they did was recognize God's holy son. Then they asked for forgiveness for the wrong that I had done. They gave an invitation to the Lord for him to have his way. Before I knew it, I began to pray. I said, Father, please forgive me for the wrong that I have done. No therapist can help me. You are the only one. I got lost along the way and didn't know what to do. From this day forward, I will give my life to you. When I opened my eyes, the fog in my head had cleared. I looked for my prayer warrior. He had disappeared. I no longer live in a dark world. My days are oh so bright. The Lord touched me in a special way. And now I see the light. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dick and Marvin Cox, for that inspirational poem. I forgot to give the listeners, we always have a spiritual food for thought, and I'm going to give that right now. The spiritual food for thought for tonight is keep the faith. Finish your course. Again, tonight's scripture food for thought. Keep the faith. Finish your course. On tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox, you and I have agreed to come forth and do a tag team message on tonight. And I am so excited and looking forward to doing this message with you on tonight. For the listeners, for your for the main scripture for tonight, we're coming forth with Ecclesiastes, out of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse number 11. I would like for Deacon Marvin Cox, if you would mind, if you don't mind, if you would read that scripture for us, the main scripture for tonight. Again, Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 11. And then we're going to go into the message. The message title for tonight is Running for the Lord is a Marathon, Not a Sprint. Once again, tonight's message title is Running for the Lord is a Marathon, Not a Sprint. Deacon Marvin Cox, if you would read the main scripture, please.
Yes, I'm reading from the King James Version, and it reads, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the wise, say, understanding or a friend. It's a no favor to the skill, but time and chance happen to them all. Now, as Brother Brown said, tonight's word is a commendation word, and find out that the more we don't need help to bring the Lord's word, but when there is help available, it makes it more and more powerful, coming from two different sources. I just read unto you from the Book of King James, Ecclesiastes 9, chapter 11, verses. Oh, that's it, the 11th verse. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now, before I expound, Brother Brown, he gave us the topic. I mean, he gave us the scripture, and I gave you the topic, which is what he said, running for Christ is a marathon, and it's a sprint. And we know that when it comes down to any race, there's two or three things that you must do. You must have preparation. Second of all, you got to be dedicated to that race. But one of the most things that you have to have during that race is endurance. And tonight we're going to possibly touch upon all three of these things. And Brother Brown, I, you know, look like you peeped into my notes because the scripture that you were saying that I fought the fight, good fight, I finished the course. That was one of my points, but God knows what he's doing. Now,
amen.
Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 11th verse, tells us that we have to run with perseverance. Now, if you look in the Bible, there are many stories about things, and even in our homes, in our churches, in our jobs, in our marriages, we all start off extremely enthusiastic about this thing. But will we maintain our enthusiasm throughout the course? As Brother Paul said, that he finished the course, which means that he finished the race, that he did all the things that were required of him. But during the course of all of these things that I mentioned, will we be able to maintain that enthusiasm? We'll be able to maintain and have that endurance, because all of these things will try you. It will put you on blast. It will take you away from those things and make you question yourself as to why am I continuing to do this. They will play tricks on your mind. And it's the same thing in serving the Lord. If you don't have the dedication, if you don't have the preparation, if you don't have the endurance, and the reason I mean endurance is because there are some things, even in the house of prayer, that can cause your heart to bleed, that will almost force you out of the house of prayer because you say, I'm not going to take that stuff from them anymore. But see, I see we're off to a good start. I see that if everybody is keeping up. But will we, when adversity comes knocking on our door, be able to keep up? Will we be able to stand in the end? Now, that's a question that we must put to ourselves. Now, I'm going to turn it over to Brother Brown to see what he has to say about this.
Well, I would like for the listeners, if you have your Bibles, and I pray and hope that you do, I'm coming from the King James Version of the Bible. If you return to the book of Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9, I'm going to give you a chance to get there. Again, that's Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9. So that's why it's so important that you have pen and paper so that you can write these scriptures down just in case if you don't get to them while we are on the air, you can still go back to them and reflect on them and read them and meditate on them after the broadcast. But as we move forward, pertaining to this message titled, Running for the Lord is a Marathon, Not a Sprint. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9, we find these words, Have I not commanded you? Question. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You know what? And I'm paraphrasing right here. And why should we believe that? Because those of us that are saved in Jesus' name, whether you're a seasoned saint or a new babe in Christ, you who have tried God and have been walking with him, you know that God, he is a promise keeper. So that's why he tells us that even though we know that this is, when we're running for the Lord, we know that it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. So we can't just give up and throw in the towel whenever we feel like it. So that's why he tells us that Jesus is letting us know, the word is letting us know, that we, while we're running this marathon for the Lord, that we are to not be afraid, but we are to be strong and courageous, because we know that the Lord God, he promised that he will be with us wherever we go. This marathon that we're running is to be ran by all of those that are saved in Jesus' name. And we find in Romans, in the book of Romans, chapter 9, Romans chapter 9, verse 24, which tells us, and it says, even us, whom he, talking about God, has called not of the Jews only, not of the Jews only, thank God, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Aren't you grateful and too glad that we serve an awesome God, that he opened the door, that we who are now Gentiles, that we have the same rights as the Jews, that we can be saved in Jesus' name, and that we can run this marathon. And we know that it's not a sprint. We're running this marathon, and we're running it for the Lord. So, Deacon Marvin Cox, what do you? How would you add to that?
Well, what I would add, and I appreciate you passing me the baton. We know that in a race, a relay race, or a race, that one of the most important things is to pass that baton and to keep that thing going. Because if you drop the baton, then it's going to stop the progress that you've made. But what I have to say about that, Brother Brown, is that Isaiah, the 40th chapter, 31st verse, said that your strength will be renewed. It said if you run, you will not get weary, and if you walk and not faint. Now, I have to say something a little bit about that. Sometimes halfway along the race, when your body and your mind and your spirit begin to protest against that race, against that pressure that you're putting it up under, then a lot of us have started off something, and right in the middle of it, we have quit. We said, I can't do this, but God's word is letting each and every last one of us know. It's letting you know, Brother Isaiah. It's letting you know, Sister Robertson. It's letting you know, Deacon Johnson, all of you out there that's listening, it's letting you know that now is not the time to give up. And if you notice, whenever it's a marathon run, race, they're always doing every marathon. If you look at a marathon or you participated in one, you know that there are people on the sidelines who are giving you water to replenish your body, giving you energy bars in order for you to replenish yourself. Now, I got good news for you. God is on the sidelines, and he's cheering you on. He's giving you that. He's going to renew your strength. Say, run and not get weary. Have you ever done something? And then at the end of the day, you felt like, hey, I can do that again. When you run for the Lord, it don't wear you out. It should reinvigorate you. It should give you enthusiasm. Amen. That people will wonder to themselves, where is this brother getting all this energy from? But remember, when God renews your strength, because, see, my polar strength has run out, and it puts limitations on my capabilities. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So God is putting fuel in my tank. Many days all of us have been weary and said to ourselves, Lord, Lord, how am I going to make it through the night? How am I going to make it through the day? I don't say I'm going to make it through the day. But then 5, 10, 15 years later, we're still wondering how I made it through that one grim night, through that one dim night. So if you listen to Brother Isaiah in this scripture, he said that your strength will be renewed, because a lot of us are weak. And what are we weak from? We're weak from the troubles of the world. the troubles of the world, and, you know, trying to hold up my contrary sister, trying to have a tug of war with my lying brothers. These are the things that will wear you out. They will wear you out mentally, wear you out physically, and they will wear you out spiritually. So we got to try to stay away from those things that will sap our strength. Worrying about bills will make you tired.
And,
worried about what's
on
the world.
Deacon Barber Cox, I'm about to interject something right there. Right there, and they say let's stick a pin right there, because I'd like to include what you just said and add on to that the book of Hebrews chapter 4.
Okay.
Chapter 4 of book of Hebrews, verse 16. That's why what you just said it applies in according to the scripture. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, which says, let us, you and I, you my sister, you my brother, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Why? This Christian race is a marathon. And a marathon, it means it's a long, you're going for the long haul. Or you could say that I'm going to run this race until I cross the finish line. That finish line is the line that we all must cross, in which God has called us to complete, that he will be glorified through you and through me. So we have to, if we're in this Christian race, again, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You can't just go hokey-poking and strutting along. No, you got to go in this thing hard, and you got to go in there hard, and you're going in for the long haul. You're going to go in, and you're going to finish. Your mind is made up, just like Jesus. You have a made-up mind that you're in this race, that you are going to fulfill your God purpose, and you're going to do whatever God has anointed and appointed you to do, to be a kingdom builder on this earth, that you can draw souls to Jesus Christ, that others can see Jesus Christ in you and glorify God through your good works. So you and I, we must be able to endure until the very end. Deacon Marvin Cox, I will give you the time and allotment to add to that.
Okay, my brother, I definitely appreciate that. And you said something, say go boldly. Go boldly. But see, I'm here to give strength to those who cannot go boldly because why? They're tired. And we mentioned about weariness. And see, when you're weary, you become susceptible to almost anything. When you get tired of something, you give in to it. When you get tired of something, you abandon it. When you get tired of it, you put it on the shelf. You don't want to have nothing else to do with it. Why? Because I'm tired. But see, the previous verses that I read, it said that the Lord, and Isaiah said that he will renew your strength. So don't you see that filling station right there? Don't you see that church on that corner right there? Don't you see that synagogue over there? Don't you see that mosque over there? All of these are filling stations. But if you don't go to the filling station, if you don't get a refill, then you will run out. You will become up short, and will not be able to continue your journey. So I understand that we must go boldly because, see, you're going to face some things. There's going to be some obstacles on the road that you're going to see. Our mind plays a psychological trick on us sometimes when that body thinks it has been pushed to the limit. When that body, when that flesh, I'll put it that way, when that flesh began to protest, when you out there running and your feet get tired and everything. But see, that's why it's important that you put on the whole armor of God. Said your feet showing, because your feet have got to carry you through this. Your feet take more weight and more pounding than any other part of your body. So you got to have, as I said, the preparation earlier. You got to have the proper preparation in order to run this race. You're not going to run.
Deacon Barber Cox, I'd like to say that too, that what you just said, I want to inject that, because we want to be able to finish our race. Why? And we must do it patiently, and we must endure. And we are doing this, why? So that we can obtain the promise from God. He gave us all a promise. Those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, there's a promise that God gave to each and every one of us that we will obtain if we continue to keep the faith if we finish our course, if we run this Christian race and run it and don't run it in vain, don't run it in vain, but you run it and you run it to the very end, and then you're going to obtain the promise from God. And again, it goes back to what we said earlier. God, our Heavenly Father, guess what? He is a promise keeper. He never go back on his word. He don't get amnesia. He knows that. He knows all of his children that are really truly running this Christian marathon. He knows who are actually thinking that it's a sprint, but they don't realize that it's a marathon. And because he already know who is lukewarm. He already know who's on fire for the Lord. He know who's cold toward the Lord. So he knows who is going to finish their course and finish their race, and they're going to do it by faith. So that's what we have to do. We are running this Christian race because we know that in the end, God has promised you and I, he has promised us great rewards. Deacon Marvin Cox.
Amen. Well, a lot of the listeners who have heard to me have constantly heard me say that we live in a microwave society. We want things so fast. We want them like right now. We want these things to happen to us before they happen. When Mama used to cook that good old meal, it took her all day long to cook that meal, to put all that love, to put that preparation into the meal. So if I condense what I'm trying to say is that there ain't no shortcuts to this race, y'all. I remember a few years back on the Boston Marathon, it was a person got on the subway and got all the way to the finish line and must have poured some water on themselves. And near the end of the marathon and got off the subway, then finished the race. But no, you got to go through something. Mm-hmm. So it ain't no shortcuts in no marathon. The Bible says he race isn't given to the swift nor the strong, but he that endureth. That means, I'm sorry to tell you, but nobody is exempt from trouble. Mm-hmm. Nobody is exempt from heartache. No family member is exempt from death. So we have to go through this. We got to go through the ups and the downs and the roller coaster rides of life. Why? Because nobody is exempt. But you know what? I can almost see the finish line now.
Mm-hmm.
As Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, hey, I finished my course. I kept the faith. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking you, my brothers and sisters, whoever's out there listening, to keep the faith. Because sometimes we wake up in the morning, that's all we got. All we got is faith. We cannot function without that faith and without that hope, without that great anticipation. So, as I say, sometimes we're gonna brutalize our body when we're going through something. We're gonna punish our body when we fast. And that's a perfect example right there. And some of us will start a fast and because of all the things, and that's to purify our body. But the second day into the fast, no, I can't do this. Because of a 40-day fast will cleanse you, you know. After a while, a few days, your breath starts stinking because your body starts repairing itself. Your mind get clearer. But see, all of this is to eradicate the impurities that is in each and every last one of us. And have you ever, you know, your plumbing got stopped up and everything, but then after the plumber come and he snakes it out, and that's the worst, awfulest smell that you could ever have, but then after he snakes it out, what, everything goes smoothly. It's just like when we have a fast, we have to flush ourselves out. The Lord will flush those things out of us. But see, all of this is part of this race. We're going to have to go through something. We're going to have to endure. My brother and I are going to constantly tell you that this is not a sprint, because there are some runners, they're very fast out the block. I know in the Olympics they have what they call a rabbit, and he goes out there and he set the pace, and then everybody try to follow him. And then by the time his partner come out there, everybody is tired. They just speed at the last part of the race. He speed past them. But I'm telling you, tonight, don't run at my pace. run at your pace. Because he's trying to keep up with me, or me trying to keep up with you, it will wear you out. And then as the back of your head, the back of my head gets smaller and smaller in this race, then we say to ourselves, I can't catch up with that brother. I might as well quit. But see, we're not running, chasing that brother. We're running for the Lord. And in the process of running for the Lord, there will be some, because when they planted that seed, some of it sprang up immediately, but it died. Why? Because it did not have any depth of root. The roots did not establish themselves good enough so that it could hold on to anything. And there's a lot of people who do that in relationships. They meet today and marry tomorrow, but then next week they get a divorce. Why? Because their relationship did not establish any roots. Some of it might even fall on stony ground. Some of it that the birds might come and get. But I'm just saying to you, we got to plant our feet on that fertile ground. See, called fertile ground, anything can grow on that fertile ground. Your hope, your love, your happiness, all the things that are near and dear to you in life. If your feet is on fertile ground, everything you touch, all the things that you do will prosper. But see, we're still running this race. We ain't got off course. As a matter of fact, I think we on course. But see, my timing is not your timing. I may have come into the Lord at an early age. You may have come in at a later age. But that matters not right there, because it was not designed for me to come into the race as when I did. But once I got into the race, you know what? I found out, boy, I left gambling behind. I left womanizing behind. I left all those negative things behind. And you know what? I say running the race just like a jet plane. See, a jet plane don't have no rearview mirrors. You can look back and reflect, but you can't look back and relish upon those things that you ran away from. Why? Because the next thing you know, at the next stop, the next exit, the next watering station, there will be something there beckoning you to come and revisit those things. So, my brothers, my sisters, I'm just suggesting that you just stay on course. You're doing fine.
And Deacon Murray, just like what you just said, I'm gonna interject that there. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 13, we're still talking about running for the Lord is a marathon, not a sprint. So the reason I gave you that scripture is because we can look at Abraham. God made Abraham a promise that he would make him the father of many nations. And so God kept his promise to Abraham. And he also not only made that promise to Abraham, he made it because he could swear by no greater than he could swear by him own, by himself. So God swore by him own, by himself, that no one greater than himself could swear the same thing that he applies to Abraham. It still applies to you and me today when we run our Christian race. And as a marathon and not a sprint. We know that it's not a sprint. We're running this marathon because we want to run our Christian race just like Abraham did. He ran his Christian race until the very end when he heard the Lord say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, you kept the faith. You finished your course. So Abraham is a good example, and that's why I'm using Abraham in this message on tonight. Abraham, look how old he was. He lived a long life. He served the Lord a long time, and he did it faithfully. So we, as Christians, we don't know when our time is going to be up. The Lord said that no man knows the day nor the hour when the Lord is going to call us. So we can't be, you know, running this Christian race like it's like it's a sprint. We just running, you know, just lily-lolly dagging through the lily fields. No, this is a Christian marathon, and in this Christian marathon, you're going to run across all kind of obstacles on this Christian race. So you got to know that it's a marathon. You got to run this thing with determination and an endurance that I'm going to run this race until the end. What do you say, Deacon Marvin Cox?
Well, what I have to say is that you were speaking something very, very important came to me, and I'd like to share it with God's people. First of all, we have to look at what road we on concerning this race. And I don't know about you, but this race that I'm running is on the road to repentance, or the road of repentance. And I look back on the things that I'm running from, those things that were trying to overtake me. And I said to myself, and you'll see a stranger every now and then. So you don't want to be like the, and you're going to be, excuse me, I'm not going to say that you don't want to be, you will be just like the Maytag man. You will be the loneliest man in town when you're on that course. You will become fretful because you just see a stranger every now and then. So you think about what you're running from, think about what you're running to, and think about what you're running for. Brother Brown, I'm going to keep it brief. I'm going to throw it right back at you.
Well, praise the Lord on that. You know, because, again, it goes back to what we just said earlier, that we must run this race and by faith. You know, we got to do it by faith. And according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, which tells us now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Again, that's found in the book of Hebrews. I'm sorry, yeah, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Again, it says to you and I on tonight, my sister and my brother, says now. And that's the word I want to stop right there, because a lot of people, when they talk about, and they mention this scripture, they start off by saying faith is the substance of things hoped for. But they leave out one of the important words, which is now. That means right now, no matter what your situation is, right now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. So therefore, we must endure as good soldiers of the cross, just like Jesus. So as his followers, if you and I are going to be followers of Christ, then we must run this Christian race all the way to the end, just like Jesus did. So, and that's in the book of Micah. In the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. We find these words: when running life's marathon for the Lord, we need to remember his word, which says, he has showed thee, talking about you and I, he has showed us, old man, or I'm going to paraphrase, old woman, what is good and what does the Lord require of thee? What do the Lord require from you, my sister, from you, my brother, as followers of Christ, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God? So while we are running this Christian race, while we're running this Christian marathon, we got to walk humbly with our God, and we got to love everybody, and we have to have mercy on everyone, even while we are running this marathon for the Lord. Because, again, we know that it's a marathon and it's not a sprint. So, again, we have to make preparation to be able to endure while running this Christian marathon for the Lord. We have to prepare. We have to make preparations. So, on that note, I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. Again, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. And as Christians, you and I, my sister, my brother, we must have the mindset of Christ. And according to verse 15, it says, and our feet should be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So even while we're running this marathon for the Lord, not a sprint, while we're running this marathon for the Lord, our feet should always be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So we should always try to maintain peace whenever we can. We should always be seeking for peace. We should always be striving for peace. That's what Jesus was all about. He's about spreading love, because he is love. God is love. He was going around spreading peace and joy, and he was showing empathy and compassion for all people. And so while we're running this Christian race, while we're running this marathon for the Lord, we are to be, as followers of Christ, we are to be doers of God's word and not just hearers only, and so that men may see our good works and they will glorify our Father which is in heaven. So again on tonight, we got to remember that we as Christians who are saved in Jesus' name, we are running this marathon for the Lord. And guess what? It's not a sprint. Deacon Marvin Cox.
All right. All right. Well, I thank you for that, Brother Brown. But, you know, and our enthusiasm, Brother Brown, I know we both have mentioned it, but I got to put special emphasis on this, that this race is not a physical race.
That's right.
It's not a physical. It's spiritual. And the reason I say that, because there are some right now who are not able to get up out of their wheelchairs and run. There are some that is confined to their bed. There are some that are troubled in their mind. But see, this is a spiritual race. But I need you to do one thing for me. I need you to look to the hills. Psalm 121. That's where your help is coming from. Because we say, wow, these guys really are moving. But you can also. Because, see, we're having that race in our mind. And see, that race is involving all the adversities that you've faced in your life, all of the adversities that you had to overcome in your life. So, you know, sometimes when a message is going forth, sometimes they could be exclusionary, and sometimes they could include you. But we're not excluding anybody. Anybody that's listening to us or feel us in their heart tonight, I want you to know that you have a race to run. We say, you know, we say, well, I can't get out there and run, so they're not talking about me. But yes, you can. You can run with your love. You can run with your hope. And you know how sometimes we, unfortunately, we run with foolishness. Somebody tell us something, and we then ran all over town talking about it. So don't tell me, because you are affirmed, because you are bedridden, because you're handicapped, because you're in a wheelchair, because you're on crutches, that you can't run. Not so. And this is an encouragement to all of my brothers and my sisters, all those that may have been on alcohol or opioids or whatever. You can run. Just ask the Lord. Look, 121 to Psalms 121. Say, Lord, I need help. We already proved to you that it said that He will renew your strength. If you run and not get weary, if you walk and don't faint. So this is simple to do. I mean, sometimes things, the simplest things could be so complicated because we look at our situation and we feel that what is being asked of us is an impossibility. But see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's no limitations on what I could do. I mean, I have a muscular dystrophy and I'm not able to ambulate the way I want to, but guess what? Every night I lay down. Some nights I've dreamed and I'm playing in the fields of ambrosia with my wife. We're just frolicking and having fun. So my physicality is only limited to my body. It's not limited to my spirit. It's not limited to my brain. So I'm just saying we have to look at this. We have to be able to run. We have to be able to not try to get to the finish line quicker than anybody else. But the most important thing is to finish this race. Now, Brother Brown, hey, I'm invigorated, Brother Brown, because the original marathon, man, what he do? He ran 26 miles, 26.2 miles, and then he delivered the message, and he dropped dead. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you might feel that you're going to drop dead after you've physically exerted yourself, but see, God is my keeper. He's going to allow me to finish this race, to finish this course, and at the end, okay, if I think about it, maybe at the end of my marathon, when I didn't finish my race, when Brother Paul, when I done all the things that the Lord told me to do. So that could be symbolic, you know. I heard many preachers say, well, you know, his race is over. So I'm just going to keep on striving to go forward in the name of the Lord. I ain't tired. Amen. I thought I was. But I look over here, and there's somebody on crutches, somebody pulling somebody in a wagon, and they just passed me up, so I better step up my game, Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know what? I like what you said, and I'm glad you touched on that, because someone needs to know that this is spiritual. When we talk about running for the Lord, it's not a marathon. I'm sorry. When we talk about the Lord, is running for the Lord is a marathon and not a sprint. Some people do need to realize and know that this is a spiritual thing that we're talking about. Because, like you said, and I'm glad you touched on it, you more or less gave a testimony just now, Deacon Marvin Cox. And because a lot of the listeners, a lot of the new listeners do not know of your physical condition, but you just said it, because of your muscular dystrophy, you cannot get out of the house physically like you used to, but the Lord is still using you. So we don't want to be trying to come up with excuses as why we cannot be used for the Lord. Just like Moses tried that too with God. When he tried to tell the Lord that he stuttered, God told him, "Don't you know, I know that you stutter. Who made you? I made you, so I know all about you." So no matter what your condition is, your physical condition, if you truly love the Lord and you truly are trying to be a doer of God's word, and you know that this race that you're running is for the Lord, is a marathon and not a sprint, then you're going to ask the Lord every chance you get that you're going to, when you pray, you're going to ask the Lord for strength, because you're going to need his strength to lead and guide you, to carry you through. You're going to need his Holy Spirit that lives and guides inside of every believer in Jesus Christ. And we're going to need to continue to ask God to strengthen our faith, our hope, and our trust in him while we're running this Christian marathon, because we do know, again, it's not a sprint. We're running this race, and, again, we're running it for the long haul from the beginning all the way to the end, because in the end, but we want to hear the Lord say to us. And I hope that's what you want to hear, my sister, my brother, because this is what I want to hear from God. When I want to hear him say to me, like he has said of many saints that have already gone on to be with the Lord, "You have kept the faith, you finished your course." And he's going to say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear, because I know that while I was running my Christian race, doing this marathon for the Lord here on earth, trying to be a kingdom builder for the Lord and trying to be pleasing to God and trying to be a doer of God's word, even though I was criticized, just like Jesus was, even though you may be criticized, even though you may experience church hurt, even though you may not be understood by your family members or loved ones or people in your community, because you are trying to be a doer of God's word and you're trying to let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify God while you're running for the Lord, it's in your marathon, and you know that it's not a sprint. And people around you, they see what you have been through in life. They see the struggles that you have gone through, but they see also that you have maintained your faith, and they see that you have not given up. You are continuing to run, and their minds are weary, and they're trying to figure out, what is it? Who is causing you to continue to run this race for the Lord after all you've been through? But you have to have a made-up mind. You have to know that you are going to be endued with power from the Holy Ghost to help you and to strengthen you so that you will continue to be able to run your race, this marathon for the Lord, because you know that it's not a sprint, and you're going to run it until you cross the finish line, because you know that there is a prize and a promise that God has made to those that love him and those that have walked upright before him. And while we are being doers of his word, even though we are being persecuted and talked about and scandalized for trying to be a doer of God's word, then we know that in the end, after we have run our marathon for the Lord, then we're going to hear him say, "Well done." That's what we want to hear. So I pray on tonight, Deacon Robert Cox, before we close out for tonight, did you want to add anything to that before we close out for tonight?
I'm going to make it brief. At the beginning, I said that this race is going to require three different things. It's going to be preparation. We have to be prepared to leave our sinful ways behind. Number two is dedication. We have to be dedicated that come what may, we're going to stay the course. We have to be able to endure some things, because it's going to be some sad things, some things that may happen during the course of this race that may cause you to want to quit, but don't do it. Because it is a marathon,
right.
And if we prepare ourselves properly, physically, mentally, and spiritually, and we dedicate ourselves in the same way, and we endure by looking to the hills, we're going to be all right.
That's right, and stay focused on the Lord. Keep our minds and our eyes focused on God and his word and his promise. And so that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to get weary in well-doing. But the Lord said, "Be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not." So if you don't faint, and if you don't give in, and if you don't give out, and if you don't throw in the towel, if you continue to run for the Lord, your marathon race that the Lord has given to you, that has been assigned to you, because I cannot run your race for you. Like Deacon Marvin Cox said, believe it or not, you may love your pastor. I love my pastor. I love my bishop. I love my sisters and brothers in Christ. But nobody, I love my mother. She's gone on to be with the Lord. I cannot run this race because of her faith. You cannot run this race because of your pastor's faith or your mother's faith. You got to run this race because of the faith that you have in God. It's personal. It's a personal thing. Just like when we stand before God in the day of judgment, we're going to give an account, every last one of us, for what we did in our bodies, the good and the bad. That's what the Word of God says. So while running this, you've got to remember this. You're running this Christian race for the Lord, this marathon for the Lord, because in the end, you want to hear him say unto you, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. I pray on tonight that you have been blessed by this tag team message from Deacon Marvin Cox and myself. And I pray that we have said something that will prick your hearts, and that you will gain a closer relationship and walk with the Lord, and that you will be strengthened through this message on tonight. If you felt like throwing in the towel, if you felt like giving up on tonight, I hope your faith has been increased on tonight after hearing this word. Running for the Lord is a marathon, not a sprint. And we pray that it has not gone out in vain, because the Lord says that, you know, whatever he does, his work, what he sends out, is going to accomplish what he set out for it to do. It's not going to return unto him void. So we just give God the glory, honor, and praise for it right now in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Deacon Marvin Cox. And we've got to do this once again, a tag team message. You want to tune in as often as possible, because you never know what the Lord is going to do through this worldwide ministry. I just thank God for using me, and thank God for every guest that comes forth over this worldwide platform sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Please pray with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name. We know that you're worthy to be praised. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father. We thank you that you are a promise keeper. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. We thank you for the finished work on the cross. We thank you that it's in him that we live, move, and have our being. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that the blood of Jesus still works and it would never lose its power. So we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, know on tonight, again, that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.